Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Pass blockers now. He's dancing his way. To the touchdown.
Until it's bright out. Oh, just another lonely night. Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
To the most NFL pregame show on Ship to Shore Radio. What's going on, everybody? It's another edition of the Southernmost NFL pregame show, and it's another playoff Saturday night edition. And welcome to you once again. Welcome, Evil Rob. What's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on, Zim, man? Just another fun day of football, man.
Yeah, another fun day of working at Sports Fanatic and talking football all day long. I don't know if it gets old. I'm giving it a couple more weeks, but it's yeah, man. I have five TVs in there, so I'm constantly watching the games. And let's talk about last week. I watched a lot of football at Sports Fanatic. Last week we had a show at Saturday night, and let's talk about the games that we didn't talk about. That was the two Sunday games. And I believe the first one was Atlanta at New York. And I'll give you credit. You called the Giants winning. I had Atlanta, but I think you had some valid points and Matty Ice in the playoffs. And, yeah, he didn't do shit. So
still winless in the playoffs.
I'll give you credit. Do you think that was more of Atlanta or more of New York winning it than Atlanta losing it?
I honestly think it was more of the Giants' defense just shutting down the entire offensive system of the Falcons. They couldn't do anything. What was it? Michael Turner had like 60 yards rushing.
Yeah.
You know, I said it last week that rushing wins playoff games. You have to be able to run the ball in order to win, and they just the Giants' defensive line just shut down the run the entire time, and they were just in Matty Ice's face the entire game. And they basically did the same thing to him that they did to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in 07 and just kept hitting him and kept getting right into his face and knocking balls down and wouldn't let him do anything.
Yeah, man, it was I laughed at Eli. That safety was kind of ridiculous. I don't understand how – I've never seen a play start at the 15-yard line and still get a safety. But
well, that's Eli Manning for
that
you.
It started off good for Atlanta, but other than that, Eli was definitely pretty solid. I didn't see much defense or life from Atlanta at all, like the whole game. So,
now, the other key was Atlanta going for it on 2 4th-and-1s and getting stuffed both times. The second time they got stuffed, you just saw the whole life go out of the Atlanta sideline. There was just no hope after that. They kind of gave up. And then the next drive, it was a nice little touchdown pass to Mario Manningham, and that kind of sealed the deal right there.
I'm trying to pull up the NFL.com stats, but all I could hear was Larry the Cable Guy on the advertisement, so this isn't working out so well. But, yeah, man, you called it, and I think it just came down to experience. I mean, you know, we're not going to sit here and say after one game Atlanta's a horrible team. They're obviously a great team, but playoffs are just a whole new setup, and this just proves it. You know, and home field means everything. And I think the Giants probably still would have won if it was in Atlanta, but I think would give Atlanta a little bit more confidence, but I just didn't see it. And Giants have proven, you know, this they have experience, and they've not only been here, but they've won a Super Bowl. And I don't know when Matty Ice is going to get his leg's set in the playoffs, but he's got to start soon because he doesn't have it. I haven't seen any improvement from last year. So,
no, that's definite. He There's something that has to change with that team. I don't know if it's the coach. I don't know if it's a coordinator, but something just is not right with that team because they freeze up. I mean, maybe Matty Ice has the right name. It's not because he's just the man to play or the man. It's because he's ice cold. He just can't do anything, and the whole team is the same way. And somebody has to take the blame for it, and usually it's a coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's personality. If I was in the huddle, I could kind of by guy. I don't know anybody from there. I know who they are, but you know, some people have it, some people don't. When it comes down to crunch time, you know, look at LeBron James. He's a great player, probably the best in basketball, but he can't make. And then, granted, he's not a shooter, but come on, he never makes a game winning shot. It's just not his deal. I don't know what it is, but it's just. It's got to fall down on probably either Matty Ice or the coach. You got to ride me. It's one of the coaches or something. They need to look at it. And if they're going to make all these moves like they did in the draft to get Julio Jones, they definitely got to make a move and try to fix this problem. Because I think they're good enough to win a Super Bowl with the personnel they have, but they just got to get their foundation straight. So
yeah,
see if they make any moves in the offseason, yep. You know.
They're definitely a quality team. I can't take anything away from them that, you know. As much as I thought the Giants would win last week, there's still that doubt in your mind because it is the playoffs and all the teams that make the playoffs deserve to be in. You know, even Seattle proved that last year. Everyone gave them a world of shit because they were a losing team making it in the playoffs, and yet they still beat New Orleans. So, you know, every team that's in there has a chance, and it's because they're good. They deserve to be in. So, you know, Atlanta's obviously a good team. They've been in the playoffs a few years in a row now, and they just need to take it to that next step. It's almost like the same scenario with that Dallas has and Tony Romo. He's great exactly. In the regular season, but you put him in the playoffs and he can't win.
Whoa. He's above average in the regular season, but everything else he said was correct. Once you get to the playoffs, you just don't see any life for
that
team.
All right, I will stand by that correction. I take that right there. Okay, no problem.
It's all right. It's radio. Sometimes we're live and we make mistakes. It's cool. But enough on that game. We'll talk about the Giants, obviously, in a minute.
Right.
But let's move on to the other game. I couldn't have scripted it any better for Tim Tebow's situation. I watched half it at the game, half it at Buffalo Wild Wings to catch the end of it. And, yeah, man. The Broncos ended up winning in overtime. But let's talk about the beginning of the game and just the first half. And it's just, it wasn't a typical Tim Tebow game. It was more of a – they looked like they were better, and they were up by two touchdowns at one point. And I want to probably say that's – what would you say, the injuries of Pittsburgh that kind of gave Denver the life, maybe? I don't know.
Well, yeah, the injuries definitely had a big part in it, plus – the defensive scheme the Steelers were using, one thing is the defense that they play, you got Polamalu and Clark that have played together for years. They know each other. They know exactly what they're going to do. And Polamalu pretty much has free reign in that secondary there. And he was rushing Tebow like no tomorrow. He was coming off that safety, and he was being a 6th, 7th guy in the box every single play. And Clark is used to that, and he's used to filling in. He's used to being able to read what Polamalu is doing and filling in the gaps where needed. Well, this kid that was playing in his place had no clue about that, and he got burned quite a few times throughout the game. And you saw, obviously, the same exact thing happened on the first play of overtime for, you know, when Tim Tebow throwing an 80-yard touchdown pass that, well, he actually only threw like 10 yards, but still. You know, Thomas made one hell of a stiff arm on that play and took it to the house. And you can't.
Here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him. 3 to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on the New England. They won it on the first play of overtime.
Just thought it was necessary to play that.
That was good timing.
It was good timing, I thought. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, you had that queued up and ready to go, didn't you?
Yeah, it was already here, but yeah, it was the number one play of my Southern Most Sports, so I have no surprise, but yeah. I work, it's Tebow's everywhere. Like, I work at Sports Fanatic for 7 hours, and I literally have to talk about 20 people a day about, they're asking, do you have 10 people jerseys, do you have shirts? I mean, we have so many youth jerseys, and I swear we sell 5 a day. It's just ridiculous. And I get the Buffalo Wild Wings, and I sit at the bar to watch, like, the second half of the fourth quarter in the overtime, and everybody's just cheering. And, I mean, it's Miami. Like, how far away can we possibly be from Denver? You know, and then we got people just going nuts over him. I mean, and I honestly, you know, I don't blame him. I kind of go nuts over him, too. But what he does is just amazing, and I was happy they won. And to make it better, I guess I was happy they beat the Steelers because I don't like them at all. So.
Yeah, I'm not a big Steeler fan either. And, you know, the Steelers, you know, I got to give them credit because they're always there. They're always a good team. They make the playoffs just about every single year. They make a run just about every single year. And, you know, every once in a while, you got to lose early. It's just fate.
Yeah.
It's not divine intervention like all the Denver fans think, but it's fate.
Well, I think the Steelers, the best way to really put them is to just, we were talking about, you know, one end of the spectrum where we have the Falcons and the Cowboys, and I just put the Steelers completely on their side. They're a team that no matter how banged up they are, as long as they have Big and healthy, he's a winner. So
yeah,
definitely a big win for Denver. I mean, both teams have much confidence. So Denver obviously needed the home field, but definitely a good stepping stone for him. For the, you know, his first full year as a playing in football, so as a quarterback starting.
Well, he wasn't started his first the full year. He came in seven games in the season.
He played 13 games. Whatever.
Close enough. But you know what Tim Tebow did do this year was pretty incredible. I gotta give the kid credit. I'm not gonna sit there and get on one knee and praise him like everybody else is, but what he did was pretty impressive his first year, you know, to take a 1-6 team and take him in the playoffs and win a playoff game when everyone's doubting him. That's, you got to give him a little bit of credit on that.
Baltimore has traded the 25th pick to Denver. And with the 25th pick in the 2010 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Tim Tebow. Quarterback, Florida.
I just got all the right buttons for you. Don't I?
I need you to produce every one of my shows. You know, this is great. I like this.
All right, this is my last. This is my last Tim Tebow of the day. All right.
And I just want to say one thing to the fans and everybody in Gator Nation. I'm sorry, extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal, something Florida's never done here. But I promise you one thing, a lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season, and you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season, and you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of the season. God bless.
All right, there's my Tim Tebow segment. And as Tim Tebow comes on the local news station, I love it. Anyways, let's move on to, let's finish off the game. Obviously, you said the 80-yard touchdown. The new rules actually were applied. I think it's safe to talk about it now. I didn't really know about it, and I was a little confused. I read it really quickly on the screen, and what I thought it said was each team gets a chance, but what it said, each team gets a chance if the first possession ends in a field goal. So I thought even if they scored a touchdown, they had another chance. So the guy goes for a touchdown, and I was still pretty happy, but I didn't know the game was over. And it's very rare that someone like me wouldn't know that, but because they changed the rules, I didn't know what's going on. But,
basically, the new rule was put into effect to keep teams from winning the coin toss, driving 30 yards and kicking a field goal and winning the game in the playoffs. So
yeah, it's just such a long. It's a long game. I mean, you know, it's
right. It's a long game.
It's unfair,
it's a long season,
it's unfair to flip a coin and say, "All right, well, this is what's going to determine the last 48 minutes. You guys just worked your ass off."
Oh well, the last 18 weeks, you just worked your ass off. You know, to have it come down to a coin flip and one lucky pass and a field goal to end your season. is
exactly.
ridiculous, and that's mainly why they did it. So basically, if the first team kicks a field goal, the second team gets the ball and gets to either kick a field goal to prolong the overtime or score a touchdown to win it. And mm-hmm. it could just keep going on with field goals all day long, but until someone scores a touchdown, it's over.
Well, that's the new rule, and I like it. It's not changing it too much. I mean, obviously, change. People don't. I mean, if you look at baseball, they never change shit. Everything's so screwed up sometimes. But they didn't get the instant replays on the foul balls, and I think this is just and that's minor. I think and it's just a minor, quick little thing that changed, and it's at least gonna keep everybody honest. So that's
right.
That's the important part.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we didn't get to see the new rules in full effect because of it was. Literally an 11-second overtime. It was a kickoff and one pass play, but, you know.
I guess, but, I mean, if it's not going to happen, at least it was still exciting. Come on.
Oh, it was an exciting play, and I was sitting there, and I just was my jaw dropped when Thomas was running down the field. I'm just like, holy shit, he actually freaking did it.
The announcers weren't as crazy. I mean, they were crazy, but – I don't know. They should have gone a little. I thought they were a little light on the celebration, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But let's move on to today's games, and let's talk about the first game, New Orleans and San Francisco. New Orleans was favored by 3.5, I believe, and everybody that I talked to picked them. Except for one, that was my former co-host, Lazy B. Now, he picked San Francisco to win the whole thing. I think it was because he was so down in the points for our bracket because of his horrible first week. But either way, good pick for him. And I don't know. I picked, you know, the defense wins championships. And I thought this team, top three defense of all time in my mind. And I thought, you know, any other year they would have just been unbeatable. But
Hold on. I got to stop you right there. Top three defense of all time. You mean, so who do you take out of there? The 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears, the 86 Giants.
Okay, well, I was, you know, I'm only 22, so I know about the 85 Bears and then in the 2002 Ravens. Those are my, well, no, I was talking about the Buccaneers in 2002, personally, when they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl.
Right.
The whole defense was outstanding.
Except for the
but,
Super Bowl.
Who was?
Yeah, but we're talking semantics here, but in my opinion, top three defenses
all right,
of all time.
You know what I mean. All right, let's not get carried away. You know what I mean. They have a great defense. This defense, we're talking about 20 years of a couple teams. Obviously, this defense is noteworthy.
I got to fuck your ball somehow, man.
They didn't call this year the quarterbacks for nothing. And then we got some outstanding offenses and none better really than Drew Brees. And, you know, they took care of him. And, but it kind of went to how I thought. You know, I figured the only thing that really could have won the game was if they put up the amount of points. And I did not see them putting up as many points as they did. So that I think the everything happened the way we thought. You know, New Orleans put up a bunch of points. The defense actually played pretty decent to the most part, but it was the offense for San Francisco, and they can't do today. Bernard Davis, I think, was the star of the day.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, But Alex Smith played too. I mean, he was the one guy that I was questioning. We all know Bernard Davis is a good quarterback or tight end. We all know Frank Gore is a great running back, but it was Alex Smith, the leader of the team, that has proven himself this year, but still, it's like 7th or 8th year in the league. Hasn't really proven himself, and I think he did it today. So,
yeah, you know, I honestly did pick San Francisco to win the game, and I didn't think it would be like this. If you would have told me when I made my pick that New Orleans was going to score 35 points and lose, or if you would have told me that New Orleans was going to score 35 points, guaranteed 35 points, plain and simple, I would have said that they would win. Because I did not think that Alex Smith and the San Francisco offense could put up that many points. But, you know, like you just said, Alex Smith proved himself today in the playoffs. Frank Gore did not have an amazing game, but he did enough to keep the ball moving, to keep the defense on their toes. They have to respect the run with Frank Gore. And that's what happened. They just respected the run, and Vernon Davis made some amazing catches, including the game-winning touchdown catch. I mean, he got plastered as he was catching the ball, and he still held on. And, you know, you got to give him credit for that.
We do have a caller on the air, and let him on. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, who's this?
This is Bob.
Bob.
What's going on,
man? Is this Bobby?
This is Bobby. This is Rob.
Hey, what's up, brother? Congrats on the win.
What's going on? Thank you, bud. What's going on? Unbelievable today. You want to talk about a crazy party at my house, man?
Oh, I can just imagine.
It was off the wall. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was crazy. But I'll tell you, if the Niners offense could put up points like this, you can just give them the trophy right now. If they just faced the best offense in the league, and they were able to pull it out.
Yeah. Now, if I said it just a couple minutes ago, and you might have heard it, but if I would have told you that New Orleans is going to put up 35 points, guaranteed 35, would you have even thought that the San Francisco offense would have been able to compete with that?
Not at all. I said if the over hits, Niners lose. Yeah. If the over hits, Niners lose. That's what I thought. It was crazy. I can't believe how many points they put up, really. Five turnovers?
Yeah, and it was a defensive battle in the first three quarters, and all of a sudden the floodgates just opened up in the last, like, 3-4 minutes of the game, and I can't believe Alex Smith actually kept up with Drew Brees. That just amazed me.
Yeah, and all game I'm saying Gore's going to break one, and finally he broke one.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, he did what he needed to do.
Yep. So I'm already doing my countdown that you've been watching all week on Facebook for next week. I got 7 days, 13 hours. We're ready to go.
And are you in? I assume I saw on Facebook that you're rooting for the Giants this week because you want the home playoff game, obviously.
Oh, of course. Who wants to go to Lambeau? I mean, I know it's careful what you wish for, but, I mean, you know, you don't want to go on the road if you don't have to.
Right. It's the same thing of you don't want to go to New Orleans. You don't want to go to Lambeau. It's the same basic deal because you want that home field advantage because you know what your field is like.
Yep. And you see what happened to Sproles. He kept on falling all night, slipping, all that stuff. He had the one great touchdown, but he was slipping, had a lot of fumbles. These guys just can't play on grass like they play in the dome.
Well,
nope.
Darren Sproles, I don't know if you know this, he actually set an NFL record for the most catches in a playoff game with 15.
How many was that tonight? What was it?
115 catches, 119 yards, but the 15 catches was the most ever in a playoff game.
That's
so
crazy. Yeah, I mean, they played that defense like you're not beating us deep. Bend and don't break. And that's what they did. They pulled it out. Crazy.
Yeah,
it's funny, though, man. Like, yeah, the rushing was definitely nothing. Between Ivory and Pierre Thomas, there was a total of 29 yards. Like, nothing. Drew Brees, 40 completions. 440 completions is ridiculous, first of all. 462 yards,
yeah.
Four touchdowns. I mean, San Fran, I mean, that's not San Fran's defense. That's just the offense. Like, it's what I keep saying. Their offense was so good, but San Fran did something that we really didn't think was going to happen. That's put up points. And I don't know how many touchdowns
right.
He scored in the last 3 minutes, but wow. I thought the game was over at three different occasions. And
exactly.
Oh my God. By the time the game was over, I put my phone down and didn't look at it. I had 19 texts, and half of them were, oh, sorry for this, and, you know, oh, let's go New Orleans. More like busting my chops a little bit, all my so-called buddies. And then the other nine at the end, texts were like, awesome game, can't wait for next week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when Graham scored that touchdown, when he just – that was a great catch by him, and he just broke a tackle and went through. And
He's too big.
I thought the game was over at that point in time. I was just hoping that Alex Smith could bring him down to give Akers a chance to tie it and send it to overtime.
That's exactly the same thing I was thinking. I'm like, just overtime, one first down, one, and then Gore broke it, and then Davis had the catch, and all hell broke loose over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, three points total scored in the third quarter, and 36 total, or 34 total points scored in the fourth quarter. It's kind of crazy.
That's insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, and there were no turnovers in the second half either, I don't think, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because all the turnovers came in the first half, and that was amazing, too, with, you know, what was it, four or five turnovers in the first half by New Orleans.
Yeah, four, I believe.
Two fumbles, I think two fumbles and two interceptions.
Right. And they were still that close. That just shows you right there what kind of a team that New Orleans has over there. And you know, they
the
showed
stars
a stat
are
that,
aligning for the Niners.
Yeah, they showed a stat on TV that any team that had a plus four turnover margin, only they were like 71-1 all time in the playoffs.
Yeah, they even said, had like a trivia question, who was the one team? And it was like the 1927 Baltimore Colts or something crazy. I thought they were going to say the Niners or something.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, and at that point in time, I'm like, great, this is going to be number two.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a jinx. It's a complete jinx when they say stuff like that. I was a little worried myself.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Eli Manning. Every time they call him the comeback kid, and oh, he's a magician in the fourth quarter. He throws a pick on the goal line, and the Giants lose, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he only comes around to play in the fourth quarter anyway, usually, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right, good... well, hey, I'm going to call you next week if the Niners knock off someone. Hopefully, are you on a Sunday night still?
We'll probably be, we're usually on every, well, this, we're a bit on Saturday nights now that the playoffs are going on. Man, when are we usually on during the week? Like, normally, you're normally on usually Sunday mornings, right?
Well, normally, but just from the fight until, you know, next season, I don't think I'll be on Sunday morning. Just either right smack in the middle of the games, or I guess if I'm live for the Super Bowl, which I will be, it'll probably be the Sunday morning for the Super
right.
Bowl. And I'll do
awesome.
Something probably for the Pro Bowl. But, yeah, for the most part right now, it'll be Saturday nights, so...
Yeah, and then we also have a I also do another show on Tuesday nights with a couple other guys, and Frank and Dredd and Ken from Jersey. We do a show called Dreaded Sports Talk, and that's every Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:30.
All right, cool. Well, you know what? I'll keep this number, and I'll be calling in a room for the Niners the rest of the way.
All right, Bob. Well, here's a celebration drink for you, man.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling, Bobby.
All right, take it easy. Bye.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, man, just I think it was the game of the tight ends if you had to pick a position. Cause,
yeah,
I know the quarterbacks did great, but for a tight end to do that much production on both sides, outstanding. And they're two of the best. I mean, aside from Gronkowski, these guys are the two best in the league, so they really put on a show. And I give the Saints credit, one, for they. I mean, the offense – was doubted because of the turf and playing out. So they lived up to the hype against a pretty good defense. So let's give Drew Brees and that offense, honestly, you know, some credit. They did great. And but let's give the offense of San Fran more credit with no experience whatsoever. And I don't know if it's the coach or I think the defense getting hyped. I mean, they're so hyped to kind of just runs through the whole team, and that offense really showed a lot of life. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do next week, no matter who they play.
Oh, sure. Hell yeah. Yeah.
I'm double guessing now. I think they're actually a Super Bowl team. So I didn't think that until I watched them today. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're definitely a serious contender. I mean, they proved all season long that they can win the big games. They beat Detroit. They, you know, played well against New Orleans. They won some big games. They even played really good against Baltimore, who is the hands down one of the two top favorites in the AFC. You know, in the battle of the Harbaughs. So,
yeah, they're two important keys. I think are their defense keeps them in the games, and they're clutch, man. I mean, when they beat Detroit, I think that was the last second, like, touchdown right at the goal line. So, you know, they have the clutch gene in them. David Akers is obviously one of the best kickers. So, he set the record for the most field goals made, and I think that was in part to San Fran really not scoring that many touchdowns throughout the season. But still, obviously they have a kicker, and I think they're set up the team they have to definitely make a serious run here. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you know, you also have to give a lot of credit to Harbaugh because he has turned this team around. He basically last week. You know, he basically took the same team that he had. He took a player like Vernon Davis, who was, he gave up all the time last year because there was just he's like, there's no sense in me playing. We don't have a chance. So why should I sacrifice my body? And he took a player like that and turned him into the guy that was, you know, scored the game winning touchdown and cried because he was just so emotional. I mean. you can't take that away from anybody. You know, he just has just straight out emotion, and it showed last year when he gave up, and it showed this year when he just played to that last minute. And he was a huge reason why they won. And Harbaugh has just he's taken a team that, you know, was down in the dumps and made it into a Super Bowl contender.
No question there. There's so many good qualities to the team. Defense, clutch, I mean, the quarter, I mean, the coaches. This team's definitely set up very good. And I can't really say anymore that they're going to be beaten by anybody. I think there's a lot of really good teams left, and I'm just excited to see how it's all going to play out. But it should be a lot more close games now from now on out.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's move on to the game that I'm sure you were – well, the game you were definitely looking forward to. Well, I'm talking – well, sorry, I'm losing my thought here. How about the game that just happened?
Yeah.
Denver at New England.
Oh,
and
what a piece of shit this game was.
I'll let you start it off because I was watching it, but I was also trying to sell jerseys at the same time. So,
Well, basically – Tim Tebow'd today. Well, I don't know what he finished with stats wise, but I saw a thing in halfway through the fourth quarter where he was something like 9 of 16 for 61 yards. And you know, you cannot win playoff games regardless of whether you can run the ball or not. I don't care. You need a two-headed offense, and you know, I'm the one that's been saying you need the running game. Well, the running game also sets up the pass. You can't get 60 yards passing and expect to win. And Tebow, the hype, granted, he does not bring any of it on himself. It's all the media. But at the same time, you got to look at the kid and say, is he really a starting quarterback in the NFL? Is he consistent enough to start for years to come? Because 60 yards, 70 yards in a playoff game, come on, really?
All right, well, he was 9 for 26 with 136 and no touchdowns. It doesn't say the picks here. I didn't watch it fully. He probably had a couple of picks, I'm assuming. But he's normally good on the turnover part. And I don't want to go on this forever, but like you said, is he ready? Look how much improvement he's actually made since last year. I mean, let's not forget, New England, even defensively, has really stepped it up lately. And Tim Tebow doesn't have a huge offense. They haven't really had a huge offense all year. Running the ball, I'll give McGahee credit. I mean, he's been a solid back all year, but Tim Tebow's going to be fine. I mean, he's got the strength. He's got to learn how to pass better, obviously, but he can learn that. That's teachable, especially for a guy like Tebow. He's a learner, man. He gets better, and he doesn't settle for anything. This guy's not going to step down anybody. He's going to keep trying and trying. And a lot of times people hang their head, and they kind of sit them back, but this guy has the quickest memory in the world. He's going to go home tonight, sleep well, and we'll wake up tomorrow and try to see what he can do better. And it's just, I'm sorry. I mean, you don't see that a lot because there's not a lot of people like Tebow, but this is why people like him, is because of his confidence. And,
right.
And he'll be fine, you know. I mean, this year he's not a good quarterback, but next year he's going to be better, and I think they're going to stick with him. So that's just my thought.
I hope they do stick with him because – you know, the best thing that could happen to Tim Tebow is for John Elway to take the damn suit off, get out of the press box and the coach's box, and get down the field and actually teach him how to be a pocket passer in the NFL. Because Elway was one of the best. And
no, you're right. I never thought about that, but you're right. Good idea.
You know, he could take this kid because, like you said, he is a learner. He will sit there and do whatever it takes to win. He just needs the opportunity. And if you have the opportunity to learn from the best, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. He sat there under 4 years under Brett Favre, one of the best ever. And look what he is now. And if Tim Tebow can have a one-on-one session for an entire offseason with Elway, I think it could do a lot of good for that kid and a lot of good for the franchise.
Yeah, for sure, man.
But in this game, this was just dominated by the tight ends once again. But it wasn't a tight ends on both teams. It was Hernandez and Gronkowski for New England. They were just unstoppable.
What's up with this? I mean, let's obviously we're not going to forget about the 145 and three touchdowns by Gronk. But Hernandez, 5 rushes for 61 yards?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, they were lining him. They were lining him in single back formations, and he was just running the ball, and they couldn't stop him. He was just bowling people over.
Quarter, I'm like, what? They were talking about, like, what the hell? That's like the most random thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I know they're now known as a rushing team, but really?
Yeah, the kid looked like Brandon Jacobs from a few years back from the 2007 Super Bowl run. He was just bowling people over. They couldn't stop him, and he's quick. I didn't realize how damn fast this kid was. It was great.
Well, Gronkowski's kind of giving him a little breather the last second half of the year. But just that offensive line is just retarded, man. They're so good. I know Brady's good, but that's a huge part of why he is good. That offensive line is the most important part of a football team, I think. And they definitely have it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, once they get to play the better teams, you know, next week, theoretically, they'll play Baltimore. And we'll see, because Baltimore's defense is a lot better than Denver's. So
they're scary good.
I mean, whether they played Baltimore or Houston, both of those defenses are top-notch defenses, and they're gonna get at the quarterback. They're gonna get at Brady a lot more than Denver was able to. But you know, we'll talk more about that later. But what I look at right now is New England's defense looked phenomenal. They were the 31st ranked defense in the league, and I said it last week that I don't go by that kind of stat. I go by the scoring stats, the scoring defense, and they were like around 13 to 15 in the league in scoring.
Right.
And, you know, you can give up all the yards in the world. You can give up 700 yards a game. It doesn't freaking matter as long as you don't give up the points. And they did not give up the points. And today, they did not give up the yards either. So their defense has come together at the right time, and they're definitely a team to be afraid of in the postseason right now.
Yeah, for sure, man. But it's like I said, NFC is going to be interesting, but even if they play the Texans, it's still a good defense there. But theoretically, I will say they're going to play the Ravens, and the Ravens are a scary defense, especially they just – I mean, that rest really helped them because they are a little aged, but – I still think they're very, 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 very good. So I can't wait. I know I'm a Dolphins fan, and I really don't like the Patriots, but I do kind of like the Ravens. I've actually been to a Ravens game in Baltimore before. I mean, I've always kind of liked them, and it would make me a very happy Zen man if they show Brady and the Patriots what's up next week, because I definitely think their offense is a little cocky today. I saw just the way they were playing at the end of the game. And I would love to see them lit up next week, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, I'm not much of a Ravens fan after the 2000 Super Bowl when they just decimated the Giants. But and I'm not much of a Patriots fan, even though, you know, I love
12 years ago.
Okay. I'm still holding a grudge. I am not afraid to admit it. I am not, you know, that low, shallow of a man that I cannot admit. I am holding a grudge for 12 years. But, you know, the same thing with the Patriots. I don't like the Patriots. Yes, we beat them, or the Giants beat them in 2007, the Super Bowl. But still, I don't like the Patriots. They just, the team just irks me. And I don't know.
They irk me too.
Yeah. They're just
the same way.
Yeah, just one of those teams that you look at and they're just so cocky, so arrogant. And even when Tom Brady is doing an interview and he's trying to be the humble guy, he still has that cocky, arrogant look on his face.
Oh, and Bill Belichick is the worst. You try to interview him, he's the most arrogant, just, I'm way better than you. Why am I even sitting here? I have more important things to do than to answer your questions type of attitude. It's just so...
Yeah.
I don't respect that at all. And obviously, what he's done in the past with cheating and taping practices and whatnot, it's just, you know, it's the same guys. They've been there forever, and I've never liked them at all. But definitely a good offense. But I would love to see that offense just get shaken up next week because, you know, I think Ravens defense is good enough to stop it. So, and I think the Ravens have an offense. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm really excited to see that matchup, but it's got to start. It's got to start this week, so let's move it on to Sunday and tomorrow's games. And the first game is, I believe it's Houston at Baltimore.
Yes, it is.
It is a 1 o'clock game, so I will not be at work till 4, actually, so that'll be good. And Yeah, top battle of the two running backs, Ray Rice, Arian Foster. I have the utmost respect. I've said it. Arian Foster is the best running back in the league, but Ray Rice, he's nothing less than that. I mean, let's face it. Ray Rice is a stud. And I think it's going to come down to the rush defenses, and they both have it. So who do you think is going to perform better tomorrow?
Oh, that's a tough call. And I would have to say I think Ray Rice is, only because I think Baltimore is going to win. And it's going to come down to whatever running back is better, because you got two quarterbacks that really are not – they're not superstar quarterbacks. It's not Drew Brees against Aaron Rodgers. It's not Eli Manning. It's not even Alex Smith. It's AJ Yates against Joe Flacco. You know?
Yeah.
If you would look at this on paper and say, this is your quarterback matchup, like 4 years ago, you'd be like, who? No one you even heard of before. So Ray Rice and Arian Foster is the key. The running backs in this situation are going to be the key. And I just think that the Baltimore defense is going to figure out a way to stop the run. I don't think it's going to be Foster's fault. It's going to be the defense. Because Ray Rice is just that little bit more, he's a little bit slipperier of a slipperier is a word, but slipperier of a back. He can, you know, get through the smaller little holes that Arian Foster can't, because Arian Foster's a beast.
He is.
And he can bowl people over, but yeah, last week he was insane. And
yeah.
But Ray Rice, if he steps up in the playoffs like he has all season, Baltimore should win this game.
Well, yeah, I think, well, first, it has nothing to do with what you just said just now, but first of all, you said not even Alex Smith. Flacco's probably better than Alex Smith, all right? I'm going to say it right now. Flacco's not that bad, all right? But definitely there's not no Eli Manning or, you know, Drew Brees situation. But coming down to the backs, and also I think it's going to be, you know, you have matchups. I think it's going to be obviously both rush defenses versus both running backs, but I think it's going to be Ed Reed versus Andre Johnson. You know, you have one of the best, you know, DBs in the league versus probably one of the best wide receivers in the league. And I think Ed Reed is going to win this one. And it's not, I don't know, I just, I have all, I mean, let's face it, Arian Foster and AJ, they proved it last week. It was against the Bengals, but they proved that they can play in the playoffs. You know, that playoff atmosphere didn't really shake them at all, but I think the Ravens somehow formed their own atmosphere, and especially at home, it's just going to be a whole new ball game, and I think they're just a strong team, and it's just going to be too much for the Texans. I mean, you saw the Broncos, how good they looked their first game, but they come into this atmosphere versus the team, and they look like they have no life, and I think it's just going to be that kind of game to me. So,
yeah. Well, this is the first home playoff game for the Ravens, so how they react is going to be huge, because there are certain teams, like, I mean, look at the Giants. They couldn't win a home game, a home playoff game. They lost three straight home playoff games before they won one this year. Some teams just play better on the road than they do at home.
Yeah, but I think I think that's just some of those times it's just who they are when they play certain places. I mean, where they are as a football team. I don't think it's that serious. When you're at home, let's say you're gonna. I mean, when you get the atmosphere and you have the crowd. I've been to Ravens. I've been to that stadium, and it's alive. So
yeah.
I can only imagine it. That was on a random Detroit game. They were horrible, and that was during the middle of the day, and it was raining. So this is going to be a primetime game. Well, not pro 4 o'clock, but either way, it's going to be living in there. And just be prepared. I think it's going to be just a really big defensive game for the Ravens. So they're on a mission. You know, Houston's just now starting their playoff run. Give them 3 or 4 years, and we'll start talking about them. But the Ravens have been here, done that, and they need to win the Super Bowl this year. So I just think it's going to be a blowout.
Yep. The thing I look at still, and I mentioned it last week, I'll say it again, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, this could be their last year playing for both of them. They're both going to be on missions. You mentioned it before, Ed Reed against Johnson. You know, Ed Reed should – he has a extra step in his giddy up because this could be his last year, and so does Ray Lewis. And he's one of the middle linebackers that you just want to look at and say you want to mold every other Mike back against or by him. You just want to take a mold of him and just like produce him for every team in the league, but because he's that damn good, and he's been that way for years.
Yeah. Well, so is Suggs. He's right there too. They have more than that. They have a solid defense all the way around. And I don't think it's their last year, but definitely the same feeling. I mean, they know that this is. I mean, they really have a couple years left. And they need to do it now when they're still – they know that they're getting old. So I think they'll be back next year only because their offense is getting better and they're still going to be a good team. But, yeah, they're definitely going to play with a sense of urgency. And they definitely have a really good shot this year just because they had the first-round bye and they only have to win a couple games. And, you know, bang, bang, you're in the Super Bowl and you get your shot. So I think they're going to – they've had enough experience to where they know that this is a great opportunity and they're going to take advantage of it.
Exactly.
So what professionals do.
In your opinion, in your professional sports analyst opinion, who's going to win the game?
Oh, that's no question. Baltimore, I think it's going to be 31-20.
31-20?
20 is too high. I said 20, but I'll call it 14. 31-14, Ravens. If that's not the exact score, just subtract and you'll take the difference, and I think that difference will be pretty close.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pick a score, but I think the Ravens are gonna take the game and they're gonna win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, no question. And we have about 14 minutes left, and it's a good time to get into our last game of the evening. I know you're gonna be tuned in. It is Green Bay and the Giants, and I did not think it's amazing how one team plays a certain way for one game, and you're all of a sudden like, oh, maybe they have a shot. That is the Giants, and I know that you're a huge fan. And I think that experience comes really – it comes – I mean, it's a huge thing to have when it's in the playoffs. So I will say that they're definitely a good team right now. And just because they played good last week, I know it's tough – I know it's stupid to say, oh, now they're a really good team. They still have problems. That's why they only won what, 7-9 games all year. But I think that – because they played early in the year and gave them a rant. They should have won, to be honest with you, but I think it'll be a close game. But I have the Packers winning, but I'll let you take it from here since you're a big Giants fan. So don't be too biased. Come on now.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to be biased because I'll start off by saying I think the Packers are going to win this game, and I think they're going to win in a blowout.
Very generous. Wow, I didn't think you were going to say blowout, but all right, go on.
Yeah, it's going to be the game is going to go one of two ways. If it's going to be close, the Giants will win. And I don't think it's going to be close. I think the Packers, when the Giants beat or lost to the Packers, that was a Freudian slip right there. But when the Giants lost the Packers early in the season, they were in New York. And the Giants on the road, yes, they're a great road team. They went through all of 2007 on the road in the playoffs. And they are gelling right now. But the Giants are still the Giants. They're due for a letdown. Every 3-4 weeks, they let their entire guard down. They get too cocky, and they forget exactly what they're doing and what got them to the situation they're in now. And I expect that to happen this week. I've said it for weeks on Dreaded Sports Talk. I think I said it last week, and I'll say it again. The road to the Super Bowl goes through Green Bay. They're the defending champs. They know exactly what they're doing. They got pretty much the same team as they did last year, except now they're healthy. They have their starters down, and they're unstoppable on offense. Unless the Giants figure out a way. I mean, I'm sure they've been watching the tape of the Kansas City game for the last week.
No, you're probably right. That's the only game you can look at if you're trying to figure out how to beat them. So.
Exactly. They have to look at the Kansas City game and see exactly what Kansas City did to beat them. And the thing that could hurt them is Kansas City is not the Giants. The Giants need to play their game. And if they play Kansas City's game, they will probably end up losing. And that's what they're probably going to do. That's Perry Fuel's MO is he just tries to change everything to what teams are instead of doing what you do best. And that's why I say it's probably going to be a blowout because their team, the Giants are not Kansas City, thank God. And I just don't see you know, Eli doing it again. He's done it too many times. Yes, he's the comeback kid, whatever, but he's also blown more games in the fourth quarter this year than he's won. Nobody mentions that. He's thrown five picks on the inside the 10-yard line in the fourth quarter, or with less than 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter to lose games this year. So, you know, there's just too much against him right now.
All right, well, let it be known, you think, well, we'll get into our actual predictions in a minute, but let me first just say that this is not the regular season, and I know that that's what you base it on because of 16 games right there. That's a lot, but the Giants, I mean, if you look at the last 3-4 years, I mean, they've been a solid team, and I think right now it just comes down to that the X factor is the defensive line getting to Aaron Rodgers, and I think that they can because they have three guys that can do it, Umanure, Tuck, and Pierre Paul. I mean, these guys are really, really good guys. If they all made it to the Pro Bowl, it wouldn't surprise me. But
yeah, but remember, only two of them can be on the field at the same time.
Right. But I think that and also the rushing game. I think when the Giants have both of those things going, they're an elite team because when you rush the ball and when you play great defense, I mean, that's two strong points. And they can do that because they have a good back like Ahmad Bradshaw, and they have a power back that can get every first and one known to man because he can bowl over anybody. I mean, he can get the 1 yard if he wants to. And I just think that you have a good quarterback that can play these positions. And I think what it comes down to most is experience and confidence. And you're right. The one thing that might hurt them is they're letting their guard down. But if they don't do that and they play strong, Eli Manning, I think, is a very comfortable quarterback when it comes to these situations. He's proved it before. And the X factor is a running game and the defensive line. If they can get those two working with confidence, you know, and do a good enough job, they're going to have to put up points, but I think Victor Cruz might need to, you know, he kind of has a playoff feat last year, week. Wasn't the star of the show. I mean, Hakeem Nicks was, but I think if Hakeem Nicks can come back and Victor Cruz can also be a big part, I honestly think it'll be a close game. I don't know, just because it's going to be close, the Giants are going to win because they had the situation. The Packers are a pretty clutch team too, but I think it'll be a really close game. And honestly, I'm picking the Packers because it's the Packers. They're a better team. They won 15 games. Jennings might be questionable. That's one player. They're just a better team at home. But if anything might hurt them, it's the game off. Maybe the two games off now for Rodgers. I don't know if it's going to hurt them more than it helps them. Professional standpoint, Green Bay probably wins, but it's going to be a very close game. It's not going to be a touchdown win, I don't think, because like I said, when the Giants are playing their ball, which they just haven't been playing that much of it this season, they are a really, really good team, and I think that team's going to show up. So I predict it's going to be a 27-24 victory by Green Bay, and I don't see it being – this game's not going to be separated by more than a touchdown. That's my prediction.
No. You're more confident than I am.
That's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Go in the closet. Go in the closet. Get your Eli Manning jersey. Put it on. Take a drink. And just let it feel it, all right? That's what you got to do.
Well, first of all, I do not have an Eli Manning jersey, and I will never have an Eli Manning jersey because I still do not like him as a quarterback for the Giants. I said it when we won the Super Bowl in 07, and I said it, I'll still say it, I don't like him as a quarterback for our team. But, you know, the X factor to me in this game is how the death of Mike Philbin is going to affect the Packers. They haven't had their offensive coordinator there all week long because he's been, you know, attending to family business. And, you know, my heart goes out to him and his entire family and the entire Pack organization because, you know, losing a son and losing somebody that's that close to the organization is always hard. But are they going to – I think the Packers are going to come out and just go crazy because of it. They're going to use this as inspiration to win. They did it. Look, when Brett Favre's father died 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
He came out and threw five touchdown passes and went completely apeshit. You know,
he went apeshit. That's the perfect word to use. It's funny. I'm not that young, but damn, I mean, it was like, what, it was like 4 or 5, it was like 6 years ago or something.
Yeah, like 4 or 5, 6 years ago.
I remember that game fully. He went off on that game. That was exciting.
And I just have a feeling that the same thing is going to happen this year with the Packers. or this week with the Packers. They're just going to go absolutely apeshit. And I don't know how much of a blowout it's going to be, but I'm picking the Packers by at least 10 points.
Okay, Evil Rob, you heard it here first. Evil Rob says 10 or more, and I say under 7. So if it's in between that, we'll just call it a win-win.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. And we will be on live next week for sure. I'm glad you called me. I wasn't sure about it, but it seems like you're really eager to get a show. And I was thinking about it too. I love talking football and getting it all out there. Because let's face it, I love shows right now because all I do all day long is listen to people talk about their favorite team coming in the store. I must have conversations a million times. And to be real honest with you, at least half of them don't know what they're talking about. And I have to put up with it. And I need to get on here and vent. And you know what? It feels so much better. Well, we do have 5 minutes left, and that does bring us into our final thought. And I guess I'll leave it to you for the first final thought. What do you have to say?
Well, I'm looking forward to the first real playoff overtime game that we could have. We mentioned it before that last week, you know, the Broncos and Steelers had their overtime game with the new rules, and it was kind of a disappointment because of the one play touchdown that Tebow had. I'm really looking forward to a game to where it comes down to multiple possessions in the overtime, because I just think that you look at college football, and it is one of the most exciting things. Just take the Michigan and Virginia Tech game this year in the Sugar Bowl. That was an exciting overtime. They both got possessions. They both tried their hardest. They both had a chance to win it. And to see that happen in the NFL, I just cannot wait for that to happen. And I'm really hoping that it happens this year because there aren't that many overtime games in the NFL to begin with. But once it happens, it's going to be an amazing feat to see.
And my final thought is the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. And I had, you know, it's pretty much the last team I have that I predicted to go that far. But they were the one team I said was going to win the Super Bowl. And you touched on earlier, they are getting old. And I kind of just made the connection between them and the Dallas Mavericks. They've been hanging around for a while. Never could break the surface, but they had about one good year left in them, and they just – you wouldn't have thought that team could have beat the Miami Heat last year, but they did. They pushed it, and they played outstanding because they had the opportunity. It was right there in front of them, and because of the experience, they grasped it. And I think the Ravens are going to do just that. I think they have it right now. They have the opportunity. All they got to do is take care of business, obviously, with the Texans, which I think in their home field will be no problem. One big game against the Pats, which I've seen the Pats play some defensive teams this year, the Giants, the Steelers, they've struggled. And I think if they beat them, they're down to one Super Bowl game. And I just don't see how they would lose. So just take that to heart. The Ravens, I think, will win the Super Bowl. So that is my final prediction and my final thought. And I want to thank Evil Rob for being on the show again. Thank you very much. And just because of this, I'm definitely going to say we're going to have another show next week, Saturday night, probably 11:30, I would say, and we'll recap tomorrow's games, whatever games happen Saturday, and we'll get you ready for Sunday's games, and I can't wait to be back here in a week and see what kind of went down. So, got a lot of football tomorrow, 1 o'clock game. It will be the first game. What was it going to be, the first game? Oh, yeah, the Ravens and the Texas, and then the 4 o'clock game will be the Giants at the Packers. So definitely some good football. If you don't appreciate playoff football, I feel sorry for you, but I'm excited. The Dolphins are sitting on the couch, so am I, and I'm still having a good time. So thank you, Gabriel Rob.
You got it. And I'm going to leave you all with my own little Tim Tebow tribute. I brought it on here last week, or on Dreaded Sports Talk last week, and I'm going to play it again. Just because this is the last time that we're ever going to hear anything about Tebow for the rest of this year.
All right, with that, we'll end the show now, and the outro will be this Tim Tebow salute.
Exactly. Peace.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got Tebow. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got Tebow. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him
play. On Sunday.
Unleash.
Tell Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I guarantee you that.
I'm no John Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique
football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot trauma. He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot trauma. Unleash.
Tim Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Okay, on Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
Not anymore.